Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Sandhya, the moderator for this conference. Welcome to the NIIT Limited conference call. For the duration of the presentation, all participants' line will be in the listen-only mode. I will be standing by for the question and answer session. I would like to hand over to Mr. Vijay Thadani. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everybody. This is Vijay Thadani, and I have joining me on this call Mr. Rajendra Pawar, Chairman, Mr. P. Rajendran, Chief Operating Officer, all the IBU heads, people from finance, as well as investor relations. So I won't get into all the names. I'll quickly give a brief about quarter two results, and then we can open it up for question and answers. So as usual, I will start with the business environment that we faced in quarter two. Essentially, education has become a much talked about subject in the last quarter, including the Prime Minister's speech at the Red Fort on the Independence Day. And I think all these are pointers to the fact that the nation is feeling the crunch of not fully equipped workforce to look after its growth challenges. So we do see an increasing spend on higher education, and we also hear the word public-private partnership being talked about a lot, and there are some models which are being tried out. We also saw that IT and ITS companies, irrespective of the dollar fluctuation, continue to remain on their $60 billion target for 2010, and to meet their requirements, they are now looking at Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities very, very seriously. There is a whole lot of activity which is taking place in towns outside the metros, and there are some opportunities for us there. We also see the Indian corporates realizing the fast growth rate they have and the attrition issues they have, looking at talent management, especially talent development, as a retention tool. And last but not the least, outsourcing is now covering sectors other than information technology, and there are already large numbers as far as financials, HR, legal outsourcing is concerned. All these are pointers to large requirements for training in our setup here, as well as large opportunities for us to grow our business. So it is in this context that we look at the last quarter. I'll just quickly run you through the financial highlights, which have been on the web, though, for a while now. The consolidated system-wide revenues grew 24% year-on-year to reach 3.98 billion rupees. The net revenues grew 33% year-on-year to reach 2.7 billion rupees. EBITDA has grown by 50% to reach 358 million rupees. This obviously is on a better operating margin, which has an improvement of 152 basis points. The net profit is up by 31%. The difference between the growth rates of EBITDA and net profit coming out of taxation, given the large Indian part of the revenue, which is taxable. The earnings per share on the new denominator of shares, given the fact that we went for a split as well as a bonus, is now 1 rupee 30 paisa per share. But if you were to do a like-to-like comparison with the same number of shares earlier, or the denomination of shares earlier, then it will be 9 rupees 50 paisa, which is up 16% year-on-year. The system-wide order intake was 4.35 billion rupees. In terms of the highlights of the business, quarter two is traditionally the quarter for the individual learning solutions business, and truly it was. So individual learning solution clocked a revenue growth of 31% with an operating profit growth of 76% year-on-year, which is obviously at the back of higher capacity utilization and the operating leverage setting in. The second highlight was that new businesses, which have not yet completed one full year, actually achieved their break-even ahead of projections. Our projection was that they will do it in quarter three, but given the enrollments, good enrollments that they both saw, we were able to achieve an EBITDA break-even in this quarter itself. The school learning solutions business has also registered fresh growth, with non-GSA segment growing 37% in revenue year on year. The corporate learning solutions, which consists of our organic business and Element K, the integration exercise got further enhanced during the quarter. We have now a large number of engagements on which we are working together. And overall, since the comparison with last year may not be appropriate given the fact that Element K was not there for the full quarter, Corporate Learning Solutions achieved a revenue of 1.4 billion rupees with an operating profit of 90 million and a closing order book of 2.47 billion rupees. I must mention here that revenue and margin in the dollar-denominated business did get affected further by the dollar depreciation which we faced during the quarter. Overall, the revenue growth was contributed by two factors, the growth in new businesses as well as the individual learning solutions, as well as the fact that we had Element K for three full months this year compared to 2 months last year. The margin expansion came essentially out of operating leverage, which we were able to derive in the individual learning solutions, the healthy margin which Element K has been able to build during the quarter, and the fact that new businesses last year at this time were losing money, and this time they have a break-even operation. So these are the contributors which have led to a higher EBITDA margin of 152 basis points. Depreciation has increased given the capital expenditure that we've been incurring over the year. The provision for tax is substantially higher than same period last year in this quarter. Last quarter, I must remind you, we had some tax credits which we took advantage of. But this quarter, since most of the profit is on India-based operation, there is a tax applicable, and that's a 41 million rupees provision for tax that we have made this quarter. Overall, the PAT was at 211 million rupees, which is 31% growth over same period last year. I will go down now to individual businesses. Before that, just let me share a revenue mix picture. If you look at a system-wide revenue, individual business is 56%, corporate business is 35%, institutional 5%, and new business 2%. On the net revenue, the picture is slightly different. Corporate is 52%, individual 36%, institutional 9%, and new business 3%. We also have the geographic mix this time. The India constitutes the single largest portion of revenue at 46%. US and Europe are number two at 33%, China at 11%, and rest of the world at 10%. We saw 41% growth in the India operations, that's visible in the individual learning solutions business results. China saw 17% growth, US and Europe saw 16% growth, though in that we have to assume that Element K was not there for a full 3 months last year. In the individual learning solutions, now I'm getting down to each of the businesses in more detail. We have a 28% growth year on year in the system-wide revenues. The net revenues have gone up by 31%. Operating margin has improved by 614 basis points over last year at 24% now, compared to the same period last year. Our geography mix in this is India is 64%, China 19%, and rest of the world 17%. India revenues within this overall have grown the fastest, 13.7% year on year. The enhanced EBITDA margin comes out of the fact that even though we had a capacity enhancement of 17% year on year, a better utilization of the enhanced capacity, 66% utilization of the enhanced revenue capacity, has contributed the 614 basis points improvement that we saw in this year. Obviously, this was backed by an aggressive marketing campaign, and those of us who have been in India all this while would have seen the impact of this this marketing campaign and the improved capacity utilization that we had from 52% to 66%. Going one level lower to some of the lead indicators, the career registrations were up by 35%. In China, the enrollments were up by 69%. As I mentioned, China for China, this quarter and the next quarter, the cusp of these two quarters is the time when we have a growth in enrollments. So while we did have a growth in enrollments, we didn't get the same number amount of revenue because those courses would not have started, but those effects we will see in the coming quarters. Networking and infrastructure management programs that we started two or three quarters ago have now caught on and are being offered in 176 centers. We had more than 126,000 enrollments this quarter with a system-wide order booking of 3.09 billion rupees and a closing net order book of 2.09 billion rupees, 67% of which being executable in the next 12 months. If you are watching this slide, you can also see a few new names in the number of in the technology partners that we have. You haven't seen Cisco written before, but now we have Cisco, CompTIA, Oracle, EMC, Sun, Intel, and Microsoft, amongst others. The engineering students have grown by 30%. That's a statistic some of you follow, so I thought I'll share that with you year on year. Moving on to school learning solutions. In the school learning solutions, now that we have restructured the business, there has been a growth. We have a 9% year-on-year growth this time, and the non-GSA business, the non-government business, has contributed 32% of revenues and compared to 25% last year, same time, and has grown 37% year-on-year. Total number of school centers have grown to 4,689 this quarter, of which we have 232 new centers in the government schools business itself and 20 more centers added in the non-GSA segment. Pending order book is at 825 million, 44% is executable in the next 12 months. Moving on to the corporate solutions, one way of looking at corporate solutions will be to do a like-to-like comparison. So we have a 1.4 billion rupees in revenue with an EBITDA of 90 million and an operating margin of 6%. This needs to be looked at in the context of first the dollar impact. So the dollar impact itself on the revenue is 162 million in revenue, which is 11% of revenue. And in EBITDA, 29 million rupees, which is 33% of the EBITDA. The second, we have to take out the element K on a year-on-year basis for the same period. So element K in the same period would have grown about 6%, which is consistent with the growth that we have seen in the previous years in dollar terms. Of course, in rupee terms, there will be a different number because of the different dollar to rupee conversion ratios. The rest being contributed by the organic corporate business. We added 10 new significant customers, 6 in US, 1 in Europe, 3 in India. We had very significant improvement in the number of technology partnerships that we are discussing with. However, we did see that there was in implementation of these technology partnerships, there was a lag during this quarter. Our content library, as I mentioned, one of the specific strategy which we are following was in Element K becoming the number two provider of e-learning content library to the world. So one of the conscious decisions we had taken during the last 6 months was to upgrade the content library. And we have added 963 courses in this quarter alone over the 3,500 odd that we had at the beginning of the quarter. Beginning of the year. I'm sorry, 963 are over the 6 month period. That puts the Element K content library in a very strong position. There has also been additional recruitment in Element K of a strong sales force for selling solutions as well as the content library, the subscription-based content library. during the quarter. We added three new technology partnerships and three new reseller arrangements to carry this content library to our customers. Another interesting point is India. We normally don't talk about the corporate business in India, which is now becoming very attractive, and we are looking at it very, very seriously. One aspect of that was the induction training business. We have been talking to you about numbers from time to time, but now that we have been tracking this as an item, you'd be pleased to know that from the top five employers in the IT and IT services space, and these include captive as well as non-captive, we have been able to train more than 3,000 people in the last 6 months, and the India induction training part of our revenue has grown more than 40% year on year. Our order intake for the quarter was $28.5 million. Pending order book is $61.7 million. 65% is executable in the next 12 months. New business has had a major highlight during the quarter on all axes. In terms of reach, their reach increased from the 10 centers that we were talking about to 14 centers in 11 cities. This also includes tier 2 cities. So therefore, we are able to see the rapid penetration of both IFBI and Imperia in tier 2 and tier 3 cities, which is where the large numbers will lie as we go forward. The second was in terms of curriculum. In IFBI, we added postgraduate diploma in financial planning, which is financial planning and wealth management, and this is in tie-up with ICICI Securities. We started insurance training in partnership with ICICI Prudential, and in the number of banks for banking operations training, we now also have a strategic tie-up with HDFC, which is on the same lines as we had with ICICI Bank. Overall, IFBI, since its inception, has placed 1,000 students, nearly 1,000 students, in the banking industry. There are another 1,000 who are in the last stages of their internship, and they have trained about 4,000 professionals to undergo corporate training. NIT Imperia, on the other hand, also added a new corporate tie-up, and that was in the form of a tie-up with the Institute of Management Technology, Ghaziabad. It's IMT Ghaziabad. This is the fourth one in addition to the IIM Ahmedabad, Calcutta, and Indore that we had earlier. We've also added some new programs in our portfolio. More specifically, I would like to talk about the general management program that we have added for young executives, in contrast to the advanced general management program we used to have for middle and senior level managers. There are programs in retail management, HR management, and supply chain management, which are becoming very popular. Switching on to our balance sheet is looking much healthier. Return on capital employed this quarter improved to 17% from 14% in quarter one. Cash generated from operations was $358 million. Asset addition was $78 million during the quarter, primarily on new initiatives and products such as Imperia and IFBI, as well as capacity addition and upgradation in our other centers. Our debt reduced by $140 million, and overall, the cash balance has improved by $48 million to $649 million at the end of the quarter. In terms of headcount, we added 201 people during the quarter, as well as in terms of the number of centers. Our total number of centers is now at, we added 22 more centers during the quarter, 21 in India and one overseas. Institutional centers, we added 252 that I have already talked about. So overall, we had a good quarter, and I would now like to open this for Q&A. Operator, can you pass this on for Q&A, please?
Sure, sir. Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the Q&A interactive session. Participants who wish to ask questions, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. On pressing star 1, participants will get a chance to present their questions on a first-in-line basis. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. To ask a question, please press star 1 now. The first question comes from Mr. Sunil of Credit Suisse. Over to you, sir.
Hi, good evening, sir. I just wanted to know more details on the financial performance of Element K, because I couldn't find much in the releases.
Yeah, Element K financial performance is part of our corporate business, and as I said, the integration exercise has been on, and now there are lesser and lesser ways by which we can separate out the two performance. So you have to look at Element K as a part of the overall corporate business. But if you want, at a notional level, I can talk about on a like-to-like basis. Element K in dollar terms would have grown about 6% year-on-year. But remember, this is, I'm assuming they were with us for all the 3 months last year, though they were only there with us for 2 months. So in the financial numbers, this number will appear much different. In fact, in financial numbers, in dollar terms, it will be, just one moment. Yeah, it will be 104%.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, sir. The next question comes from Ms. Priya of Enam Securities. Over to you, ma'am.
Hi. Good evening to the management and congratulations on a good set of numbers. A couple of questions from my side. One, if you could give us an update on the pricing scenario which you see in individual business, especially, you know, with the corporate induction training also commencing at your end. Second thing is, you know, you have a corporate order intake of $28.5 million in the current quarter, which is a little minor lower compared to last quarter. Is it more of a seasonal trend? And also, if you could give a breakup over here into content, LD and LT, which typically used to give earlier.
Okay. The first question was relating to the
Pricing scenario in the individual business.
Yeah. And so second, the pricing scenario in the individual business we had already shared last quarter. Mm-hmm. We normally don't change our fee structure during the year. We follow an academic year structure. So we had revised our fee in month of May this year, and we had done it for both GNIT as well as the AE segment. Mm-hmm. And we had shared those numbers with you. Raghu, you can give me those numbers again. It's 11% if I remember right.
Yeah, 11% or so in the engineering segment.
11% in the engineering and 18% in the GNIT segment. Now, the induction training is being done as a part of the corporate learning solutions exercise, which means here it's not on a per
individual basis.
In a certain sense, it is on a per batch, and okay. It is also sometimes conducted in the client premises, sometimes in our premises. So there are multiple complex situations there, but that's more like a corporate training program.
Sure. Just as a follow-up question, you know, given that, you know, GNIT is typically of a 3-year course.
Yes.
If I were to say, you know, say 100 rupees is what I pay, just as an example, for full complete 3 years.
Yes.
How does it spread across year 1, year 2, and year 3?
Okay. I can give that answer to you in just a jiffy, but let me try it. The first year, so let's take the fee of the course. Let's take the real number.
Sure.
Our total fee, if you do the full GNIT program, is Raghu? Full GNIT program, 3 years.
124,000 rupees.
Is 124,000 rupees.
Sure.
This consists of four semesters of coming to the class and one year of doing the internship. So typically, the fee in the first year is about 40% of this. Mm-hmm. And in the subsequent years is 60% of this.
Okay, and the third year is typically the internship, right?
The internship, yes.
Yeah, so just trying to understand, see, when we started seeing price intake, you know, like, I mean, pricing uptake, this is the complete, this year, like this FY08 is a complete year of, you know, second year of pricing uptake, right? We started seeing price uptake from FY07 onwards.
Very right.
Yeah, so would you say that in the current year, those people who have added in FY07, they would pay approximately 60% of their pricing in FY08. So the implied pricing which you'll get in the FY08 will be higher. Of course, there'll be new additions which have come on the increased pricing.
Yeah, but I must say that this 40-60 ratio has come in only now.
Okay, it was not prevalent earlier.
Earlier it was more like 48-52. The reason for this change is because now in the third and fourth semester, we've added electives as well as certification exams.
Okay. Sure. Also, if you could give a flavor of this $28.5 million
yes.
odd order book.
Yeah. I had mentioned it in the last quarter as well. This $28.5 million is Element K and NIT organic business put together. And I had mentioned it in the last quarter as well that Element K, for Element K, this is a particularly strong quarter for order intake. There is this as well as the October, November, December, which are typically the strong quarters for them. That's when their renewals and others take place. Even in the case of our organic business, the first quarter is typically a stronger quarter because any renewals of previous arrangements normally come in at that time.
So typically Q1 first quarter is seasonally a stronger quarter. Are you implying that? Adha?
Yes, in order intake.
Okay, cool. Cool. And how does it spread across between content, LD and LT?
Yeah, I'll just share with you. So content, LD and LT. What we would have, if you take the Element K and us together, will be...
See, last quarter you had given us a breakup of 79%. That was for
yeah,
revenues.
We had given you 79% in content.
Yeah, that was for revenues. So, just trying to take on a
similar... This is also revenue only. Are you wanting to know in order intake?
If you give us both, it will be great, rather.
No, I can give you revenues right away, but order intake, we'll have to get back to you.
No issues. Perfectly fine.
It is little lower in learning content, 77%.
Okay.
Learning delivery is 11%, and learning technology is 12%.
Okay, that really helps. Also, any revision on your target which we're looking in the new business businesses, because they seem to be going much stronger than what you had expected earlier?
We are going much stronger on profitability. And that's why we have had the break-even a little earlier. We are on track as far as the revenue is concerned.
Okay. And is it possible to give an update on cash balance, debt, and also the 25% stake which you hold in NIT Tech?
Let me answer that one first. The 25% stake which we hold in NIT Tech, we still hold it.
No, I'm saying in terms of progress over there, rather.
I think you were there on the previous call in NIT Technologies call. The same question was asked, and there is no change in the status.
Okay, great. That helps.
And there is no change in status since then either.
Okay.
One moment. Let me give you the cash balance. Yes. So our cash is 649 million rupees.
Okay.
Our debt is 2171.
So there's a repayment on debt, rather.
Yes, there is a 140 million repayment of debt.
Okay, thank you very much.
Actually, our cash collections have been very good. We got some of our government, our favorite government outstandings cleared.
Yeah, also just as a follow-up, since you mentioned that, just on, going on the private school progress, if you could give us on that as well.
Yeah, so this is not the best quarter for that because the school sessions have already started. And last quarter, if you remember, we had talked about 100 new schools which have been added.
Sure.
And so this year, this quarter, we have been essentially implementing those. And that's what you see in the revenue increase, as well as we did add 20 more schools in that category.
Okay. Thank you very much and wish you all the best.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you very much, ma'am. The next question comes from Mr. Ruchir Desai of Pioneer. Over to you, sir.
Hi, good evening. Congrats on the numbers. Just on individual business, utilization rates have gone to 66%. They've increased quite significantly in spite of, capacity increasing by 17% year on year. Also, margins around 24%. And you mentioned that on a steady state, margins could be between 24 and 25%. So I was just wondering, what is your outlook on, you know, where can margins go from here, and what would be the utilization levels, or what range could they be in going forward? I understand that Q3 is a soft quarter, but, you know, 2-3 quarters down the line, what is the outlook that you have on both these fronts?
So we, if you notice, every year on a year-on-year basis, we have been improving our utilization by about 100 to 200 basis points, sometimes more than that. We will continue to remain on that path as we go for an overall capacity increase. Capacity utilization in a quarter is definitely a good indicator of how the enrollments went during the quarter and how we could service them. But yes, quarter three and quarter four are not exactly the strong. Quarter three is a soft quarter. Quarter four will be a slightly better one than quarter three. So overall, we still remain positive about the fact that there will be improved capacity utilization in the range of 200 to 300 basis points.
Also on your corporate business, since you're not giving the breakup between, you know, Element Care and the organic corporate revenues, operating margins.
Yeah.
You know, going forward, currently the margins around 6.5%. You know, going forward, where can you expect the margins to go? You know, you had said earlier when you were giving Element Care's numbers that you want to take margins at Element Care to 8 to 10%. So the now that, you know, you're consolidating both these numbers, where can we expect margins to move in the next, say, 3 to 4 quarters?
Okay. So first of all, I want to clarify our what we had talked about Element K. So on an Element K on dollar revenue growth, we had talked about a growth of 5 to 6%, even could be 6 to 7%. And we had talked of margins between 4 to 5%, because that is the way the turnaround of Element K is happening. The problem is, in dollar terms, those numbers remain valid. In fact, Element K is little ahead on their profitability. If one was to do a notional breakup of what Element K is doing and what NIT Organic is doing. On the other hand, NIT Organic business is also on track, though a little slower than what it should be, given the technology synergy issues that I've talked to you about, where technology orders exist, but we are not in a position to execute them as quickly as we would like them to. And issues are more to do with the partnerships being in place, but the SOWs, the statements of work that you get, are not coming at the same pace. So in a certain sense, that would be a little slower than the Element K side of the business.
You know, just another question on Element K. You know, since Element K is majority of clients of Element K are based in North America or the US market.
Yes.
What's your take on, you know, this, suppose there is a concern of the US economy. You know, what is your take on how it will impact Element K? You know, would clients cut back on such kind of spending, training spends, or, you know?
Okay. I my own guess at this point of time seems to indicate that Element K at this point of time has a positive situation, which can even balance a little bit of economy issues if they were to occur. There is nothing to suggest that there is any issue to do with lower spending by corporate clients today. Having said that, Element K, as I said, is now become the second largest provider of e-learning libraries, and they are now number two to Skillsoft. We see this as a great opportunity for Element K to improve their market position and grow very, very fast. We have invested, as I said, in 963 new titles during the first 6 months. And I must also say that they've added a sales force of nearly 15 people in the last 4 months itself, which is basically to service this need. So what we see is that those factors will weigh heavier than if there is an economy-related issue. So at this point of time, the improvement in competitive situation of Element K, we think, will be a larger contributor.
Okay, thank you and all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, sir. The next question comes from Ms. Sonal of AIM Capital. Over to you, ma'am.
Good evening, Mr. Thadani. This is Sonal Kohli from AIM Capital. Congratulations on good set of numbers. Couple of queries. Firstly, on your enrollment growth in the career segment, you mentioned it's been 30%. Could you give a number of total number of the enrollment in engineering segment as well as in the GNIT segment?
Okay. In the engineering segment, we had a 30% growth in enrollment. Just one moment, I'll give you the number. So I mentioned to you that in this in the 6 month period we have added nearly 65,317 enrollments in engineers, of which 36,385 are in this quarter.
It's 65,317
in the 6 month period.
317. The rest would be basically the GNIT. Enrollment, right?
No. The overall GNIT related enrollments, which will be in this period 49,576.
No, for this quarter, you know, the total number you mentioned is 30% higher than the last quarter. Am I right in my understanding in the career segment?
Yeah, let us put the numbers in the right perspective. First, we are talking of global enrollments growing by 35%. 31%. Just one moment. Let me pull out that page. Unfortunately, this time there are a lot of 30, 31, 32%. So let me
35% in terms of career registrations.
Career registrations have grown by 35%.
Now, is that the Indian number or is this the global number including China?
This is the global number.
And historically also the numbers are global or are they pertaining to India?
It depends. If we normally talk about India, then they pertain to India. Now, you wanted to know in India, how have the number of engineers enrollments grown, correct?
Right.
So the engineers enrollments I just talked to you about, in the first 6 months, we have 65,317, of which 36,385 are in this quarter.
36,000?
Yeah, 385, and this is only India.
And last year, this number was 28,000, right?
28,044, to be precise.
Yeah. And in GNIT, what would this number be?
Now, GNIT, are we referring to India again?
Yeah.
Okay. So, in India, this year the number is 29,691.
Okay.
And in last year, this number was 25,605.
25,000?
605.
Okay, I thought it was 24,000. Okay, coming to your...
That's the number I have. Maybe we can reconcile it separately. Yeah.
Okay, in terms of your growth this quarter, your India system-wide revenue has grown, but China has decreased by 30%. Any particular reason for the same?
No, I don't think China
system-wide revenue?
China system-wide and normal revenue follow the same path. It has grown 19%.
You know, if I look at the mix of your revenues, based on system-wide.
Yes.
Last year, India was 57%.
Yeah.
China was 35%. Rest of the world was 8%.
Okay.
And this year, India is 64%. China is 19%.
And rest of the world is 17.
Yes, and based on the total system-wide revenues, if I multiply those numbers, then what I get is India growing at 44, China degrowing 31, and rest of the world growing at 172.
No, there is one number which seems to be out of place somewhere, because China has grown 18% year on year. So I have a feeling the 35% number which you have, of China. System-wide revenue last year.
Yeah,
that doesn't sound to be correct to me, because that means if 35% was China, 7% was rest of the world, India was only 58%.
Yeah, yeah.
No, India in this quarter would be significantly higher than that. So somewhere there is a
what would be your India system-wide growth this quarter?
India system-wide growth this quarter. We'll just tell you separately. So what we can do is reconcile these separately. These are of interest to you. We have all the cuts available. We'll pull this out. I'll give you the response to this India system-wide revenue growth.
Okay. So China has been growing at about 18%. What has been your enrollment growth there?
By the way, I pulled out the last year's same time presentation. China had grown 35%. China was not contributing 35%. And it was contributing 21% last year. So we have that clarified as well.
And India would be how much, sir?
I'll just give it to you. Okay. Can we continue the question? I will just give you the rest of the answers.
And in terms of the new business initiatives which you mentioned about, is this quarter an exception in terms of breaking even? And as we, you know, grow during the year, would we be investing more and then, or we expect to break even in the next few quarters also?
No, I think we expect to make profit in the next few quarters. We expect to make profits in the next few quarters. In fact, our aim is to make profit in the year if possible.
And in terms of the non-metro cities, am I right in my understanding that there was a fees hike only from 1st of September or 1st of October, while the metro saw a fees hike from 1st of, beginning of the season?
Which, Raghu?
Yes, the carrier program fees in the non-metros were raised from August only. That's right.
August.
And same is the case in case of GNIT also?
So when I say carrier programs, I do primarily mean GNIT series. JIT series fee structure was changed from August 07 in non-metros.
And how much would be non-metro as a percentage of your revenues, broadly, very broadly speaking?
In a system-wide revenue sense, maybe about 60% of career programs in a system-wide revenue basis.
Okay, thank you.
Sonal, India's system-wide revenues over last year has grown by 43%.
43%?
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, sir. The next question comes from Mr. Dihang of MBI Capital Market. Over to you, sir.
Hi, good evening. I just had a couple of questions. You have shown a trend wherein your even last quarter your individual business, the career portion just contributed 89%, and this time it's 91%. So this is significantly up from the 95% levels we have seen. So is there any movement in this front?
No, I think this quarter is the second quarter always is large quarter for two reasons. One, because the long-term enrollments happen in that, which is career enrollments. But this is also the time when, given the summer vacation, there are a lot of short-term courses which people take up.
Okay. I mean, last quarter, last year in the similar quarter, 2Q FY07, we had 95% in the career section. So this time it's 91%. So is that the only explanation we have for this?
The other explanation will be that if engineers as a percentage increase, then they take shorter term courses. They take more shorter term courses.
Oh, okay. Okay. And on the accounting side, your other income is negative. I came in late in the call, so did I miss something over there? What contributed to the negative other income? 48 million, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah. Other income negative is essentially the interest burden. As you know, we have a loan balance of about 214 odd crores. And it's essentially contributed by the interest. The second contributor, 217 crores. And the second contributor is we have a loan to our subsidiary which has to be revalued in the P&L at the new dollar rupee conversion.
Okay, so the interest outgo was exactly how much this got?
I'll give you the breakup. I have a full breakup of other income. Okay, our interest outgo was net of 47 million rupees.
47 million rupees.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And could you also give me a figure of the DSO, day sales outstanding?
95.
95 days, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. The next question comes from Mr. Ruchit Mehta of HSBC. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, sir, and congratulations on a great quarter. So just to understand, you know, your individual business a little bit, you know, if you have about 24% margins, and first half, you know, it's about 21%. So should we expect about 21 is a good number to work for the full year?
I think what you should follow is the trend which you see in the previous year. Because the third quarter is typically a soft quarter, margins will drop substantially because capacity utilization is lower.
Okay.
If you plot our last 3 years or 5 years for that matter, you will see a similar pattern across the quarters. I mean,
true.
Across the years. It's a sawtooth curve that we follow.
True, but if I see the, like last year, the average was about 17.5%, and you know the first half average is about 21%. So I'm just trying to figure out on a full year basis where are we looking at, you know, those margins heading towards.
Extrapolation will actually give you good results. I can show you how to do that if you like in a minute.
Okay.
So if you see. Individual. If you see our last year, first quarter, the margin was 16%. Second quarter, it was 18. Third quarter was 17, and the fourth quarter was 20.
Okay.
You have to, of course, correct it for wherever the price increase comes in.
Okay.
Correct. So fourth quarter increased margin, according to me, was a small aberration last quarter.
Okay.
The right way to go about it would be you should assume this quarter to be the max. Next quarter it would drop and the following quarter it would rise again a little bit.
Okay, no problem. And
so overall we had talked about a 200 to 300 basis points improvement, and we are on track for that.
Okay, no problem. And
points improvement is what we had talked about. Yes.
Okay. And so just on your new business side, you know, it's great to see that it's already broken even. Is it fair to assume that now this business has a cost structure of something like about 75 million a quarter, and incrementally, you know, margins will start improving going forward? And to what extent can this business on a sustainable basis deliver margins? I mean, what would those levels be?
Okay. I will ask Dr. Day to answer your question.
The variable cost of this is of the order of about 15%.
Okay.
And the cost structure will accordingly.
The only thing is you must, you have a, this is not a plane flying at 30,000 feet constantly. It's in a growth phase right now. So even the fixed cost structure will keep increasing.
No, I'm just saying that in the longer term, like, so it's about two or three years
down
the line.
Yeah, so in the longer term, we have already talked about getting margins at 25% or so.
25% or so.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. And just on the capex plans, do we have any major capex plans for this year pending? And what will be the total capex for this year?
We have so far done a capex of about 78 million rupees in this quarter.
Okay.
As well as 52 in the previous quarter, and we have a capital work in progress. How much is that? We have a capital work in progress of about 200 odd million, right? So our total plan for the year was about 600 to 8. Actually, we had started with 900 million, but because our capital projects got delayed a little bit, we were off late talking about between 700 to 800 million. I have a feeling it will be around that.
700 to 800 million rupees of capex this year.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, also in the presentation, you mentioned that your equity has now got diluted. So I'm assuming this is after the conversion of warrants. So,
FCCB. Let me explain you. The first change which took place to equity was that the 10% held by Intel Capital as FCCBs
Those were converted.
Okay.
The second change which took place was we declared a bonus issue top of that. Well, hold on. Before that, we added how many options? About 500,000 options. On top of that, we did a 2:1 bonus issue and we did a split of 2 rupees share. So if we multiply that, the number which we got after FCCB and ESOP multiplied by 7.5, that's the total base. And that's about 164.6 million shares of 2 rupees.
And you still have about 1.6 million of ESOPs outstanding?
Of face value too.
Okay. And on those ESOPs on the FBT issue, are you going to pass it on to your employees or are you going to take the cost on your books?
We don't have as of now any implications, but on the new plans we will have.
On the new plans you may have that.
And it passed on. Yeah, and sorry, it's passed on to the employees. Yeah.
Okay. And just on the interest cost, I missed out that figure for the full for the first half. What was the total interest cost that on the balance?
For this quarter, it was 47 million rupees.
Okay.
For the total, it was for the first half, it was 96.7 million rupees.
96.7 million rupees. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. The next question comes from Mr. Hitesh Shah of Citigroup. Over to you, sir.
Hello. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. For a better understanding, you said if you could give an absolute number of revenue and EBITDA either for Element K or the organic corporate business, probably it would be notional or pro forma numbers. Even that would do.
Okay. So I will do it at the current exchange rate.
Sure, sure.
Okay. So I'll give you the numbers for Element K and then you can do the small subtraction. Just one moment. It is on the basis of it will be about 910 million rupees for Element K.
Okay.
With a 45 million 44 million, sorry.
Okay. Just wanted to understand, we are seeing a reasonably good profitability improvement in Element K as we were earlier expecting it to be.
Yes.
However, domestic business, organic corporate business profitability is on a downtrend. What could be sustainable profit both at Element K and at our organic corporate business?
Yeah.
And what can we expect probably for this full year and for the next full year?
Yeah. So, first of all, I think when we do this notional number, there is one number which is very large. So, if whether 10 moves there or 5 moves there, it doesn't change dramatically. And one number which is small gets massively affected.
Right, right.
So, therefore, we should stop doing the notional as soon as possible, but we'll continue to do the notional one as long as you would like us to. So, first of all, the organic business is more susceptible to exchange rate fluctuations given the fact that the expenses are in rupees and the revenues in dollars.
Right.
Number two, a portion of their business is in India, which is of a lower margin business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, given this, the overall profitability, which you see, if you see an improvement quarter on quarter in profitability, we see that the combination has improved by, just one moment. Yeah, if you see between AMJ07, see, unfortunately, quarter two last year versus quarter two this year is not an appropriate comparison.
Right.
So, if we do last quarter to this quarter, we can see that it's gone up by 275 basis points, the combined profitability.
Right.
Okay. Now, obviously, Element K has not generated all that profit by itself.
Right.
It has lots to do with integration and lots to do with what the domestic business is, not the domestic, the organic business is doing.
Right.
overall, we see this year our overall profitability after accounting for the exchange rate variations, which at this point of time, if we were to look at last quarter, we had projected a 7.5% to 8% margin at the end of the year in the combined business.
Right.
But given the fact that exchange has further, rupee has further appreciated compared to dollar, I think it's more like 7% now that we should look at.
Mm-hmm. So, correct me if I'm wrong. Is it fair to say that probably for this two combined business, this year we should expect somewhere around 8% EBITDA margin?
7%, given if dollar remains at whatever 39 point odd that it is. Remember, about 3 months ago when we discussed this subject, on that we said 40.5, we should do 7.5% to 8%.
Right.
Correct. So now it is not 40.5, it is 39.5. So it has dropped a rupee more.
Okay, sure. And in terms of, are there any levers available to improve the profitability, maybe not this year, but going into FYOA?
Yes. Actually, you raised a very important point. Our aim this year is to focus on those level of revenues which even if we can't execute, but at least will hold us in good stead. And one of those is the efforts which Element K team is putting on promoting the content library and the content subscription business. And as I mentioned, we have added 963 new titles. We have added 15 new salespeople. They will get an order intake, which we believe should be very healthy in the next 6 months, except that order intake will take 2 or 3 years to burn. So that will be contributing to a better margin, reason being because that's a high margin business to start with.
Right. So probably we can look forward to something like profitability of 9 to 10% in beyond FY08, maybe in FY09 and FY10?
Yeah, definitely we should look at a 100 to 200 basis points improvement every year.
Okay, sure. And also, post the Skillsoft NetG merger completion, I believe there would be some retrenchment because of the overlap in the sales staff. And we also said that we had recruited some sales staff. If you could throw light on how does this learning technology business looks like in the U.S. geography? And, is there any kind of pricing power returning to the content library people?
Okay. It's too early to say. It's too early to say whether there is a pricing power returning or not because they are still in the integration phase. I'm referring to Skillsoft and NetG. However, Ashish may want to talk a little bit about it.
Okay, so at this point in time, the pricing the hardening of pricing is not evident. Skillsoft continues to work with its earlier pricing policy. In fact, it's kind of dropped its prices a little bit in a couple of other geographies. So it's not evident at this point in time, but we are expecting that things will change.
Sure. And just a couple of bookkeeping questions. Can I get a sundry data number for as of this quarter end?
Yes, I will just give it to you. What were the others? You can just ask me all the questions. I'll meanwhile give 2533.
2533. And the other question was if we could break the debt that we have in terms of foreign currency debt and the local currency debt and the interest rate that we would be paying on that.
Okay. So we have $35 million. Debt which we took for acquisition that in our book stands at 1393 right now.
Okay.
We have a rupee loan of 369.
Okay.
And we have others which must be the working capital and other facilities. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And if just you could throw some light on K7 for primary, eGuru and Accelerate for secondary that you had put in your school learning solution and kind of outlook on that business going forward.
Okay. What we are seeing is some traction building up in the private schools business. We talked about the 100 schools that we added in the first quarter. We talked of the 20 more that we added in this quarter. The Accelerate for secondary, K7 for primary, and eGuru. K7 is our a solution for schools which just have primary curriculum, because they don't need all the bells and whistles which go with the full curriculum. Similarly, there are some schools which only need solution for secondary, which is called Accelerate. But if you combine Accelerate and K7, the total solution is called eGuru.
Okay. And does this cover only IT, or it covers all the other subjects as in math, science, history, geography and languages?
eGuru has two portions. eGuru has an IT wizard and eGuru has a curriculum wizard. So there is a eGuru for IT and eGuru for other subjects.
Sure. And if we could have an absolute number of non-GSS schools that we have as of now?
926.
Okay. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. At this moment, I would like to hand over the floor back to Mr. Vijay Thadani for final remarks.
Thank you very much for being here with us on this call. As usual, your questions do give us new ideas and new opportunities to think of how we can improve ourselves. If there are any further questions, and I'm sure there would be a lot of cuts of information that you'll be looking forward to, Kapil Saurabh is our investor relations manager, and he would be happy to handle this. Of course, in addition to him, Vijay Kumar, Chetna Kullar, and myself, we are all available for any further information that you may need. If you would like to meet any of the business heads, we would be happy to organize those meetings as well. Thank you very much once again. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for choosing WebEx conferencing service. That concludes this conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you and have a nice evening.